The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After leaving the mountain, Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. Does anybody here like winning? Maybe some of you are not sure how you are supposed to answer that in church. But does anybody here like winning? Please, you know, who's bold enough to admit that they find losing rather difficult? Okay, that is some people. Now, of course, one of the things that Jesus did when he wanted to make a point about God, life, or the universe was to take an illustration from the everyday life of the people that he was talking to and use that to make his point. I've heard it said that people, and perhaps younger people, enjoy games. So we're going to play a little game now in order to illustrate the point that I would like to make. Would anybody like to play a game? There's a little bit of a prize. Stroke bribe. We do have some hands. So I see a little hand at the back. Was that like, would you come to the front, please? That would be very helpful. Thank you. So that's Lucy. Is there anyone else that would like to play a game? Okay. Two will be. Would you come and join us at the front? That would be marvellous. Okay. So you're going to have 1 minute. Okay. We have cones, a ball. Good morning. You can play as well. It's all good. Hi. How you doing? You can have the ball. A bat. A skipping rope. Two fluffy carrots. Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready? You've got 1 minute. On your marks. Get set. Go! What's the problem here? You don't know what to do? Well, James, what are we supposed to do? He's supposed to ball the ball to her. Yeah, okay. She'll whiz it with the bat. Yeah. What do we do with the fluffy carrots? You're going to bat the fluffy carrots. Seems a little harsh. Look, you have helped me to make the point beautifully. You will have a little reward at the end. We're going to put the things back in the box. Could we give our little volunteers a little round of applause? It's difficult to win when we don't know what winning looks like, when we don't know what the rules of the game are. Some of you may have found yourself in places of employment where there were certain expectations made upon you that were entirely unclear. Always a frustrating and a difficult place to be whether you are young or old. And I am sorry for putting our young friends in such an awkward place. But it does make the point that it's difficult to win. It's difficult to do well. It's difficult to be successful if we do not know what success looks like. Jesus was with his friends when he did that thing that parents do sometimes when they ask a question that they already know the answer to. Some of you, again, may be familiar with this. There are some fairly common examples of this. Are you listening to me? Did you throw this at your brother? Is this funny to you? A question that we typically ask to a child who is laughing at the time. The question that Jesus asked to his disciples was, what were you arguing about on the road to Capernaum? Jesus knew full well what they were arguing about, and as they looked around at each other sheepishly, they didn't quite know what to say. But the question that they were arguing about was, well, which one of them was the greatest? One of the things that gives me some encouragement about the disciples of Jesus is how dumb they could occasionally be. Occasionally I will read the Gospels and think to myself, dear Lord, I could never do this. Occasionally I will read the Gospels and think to myself, dear Lord, I'm glad I'm not like them. This is one such occasion. Personally, I know they were all young men. I'm sure they were all competitive, as young men can sometimes be. But I don't think I would have made that mistake myself. Well, perhaps part of their conversation was trying to work out what greatness looked like in the eyes of God. Did one of them say, well, actually, I'm the best at performing the most powerful and creative miracles? Did one of them say, I know the most about God and the ways he works? In a Jesus quiz, I would get top marks. Is that what God looks for? Who is the most right? Perhaps one of them said, no, you've got it all wrong, because out of all of you, I am the least naughty. Depending upon the kind of church tradition you may have been brought up in, perhaps some of you might suspect that God cares very little about any good you might do. What God is really looking for is the person who is the least naughty. Outside of the Christian world and in the wider world, again, I think some people have different ideas of what greatness looks like. So some people would say that the most successful people are the ones with the most money. That at the end of the day, the winners of the game are the ones with the most money. Now, would anybody here like a tremendous amount of money? Anybody? Again, some of you aren't sure how you're supposed to answer that in church. But I'd like a tremendous amount of money. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting that. Would anybody here like to win some awards? Anybody here won an award? Who's won an award? What have you won an award for, James? You've won an award for playing football? Okay, Luke, what have you won an award for? You've won an award for playing football. Lucy, what have you won an award for? I'm sorry, Lucy, I didn't hear that. Running races. Okay, I'm sure there are several quite prestigious award winners in the room. Why, ladies and gentlemen, you are right now looking at the winner of the 1977 Butlin's Beautiful Baby Competition. Ah. Immediately I can see what some of you are thinking. What happened, man? I believe the competition that year wasn't that strong. Perhaps some people see that health and fitness and physical strength is a sign of greatness. Maybe some would say that power and influence and the ability to control situations and make things happen is an indication of who the greatest people are. Maybe some would say that it's about being smart and intelligent and clever, or it's about being right about things, that the ones with the most right answers are the winners before God and in life. Some people may care more than anything else in the world about being really, really ridiculously good looking. Now, again, personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with being smart or rich or powerful and have an ability to make things happen. I don't think there's anything wrong with being good looking, attractive, and very well dressed. I can say that because I am all of those things. But Jesus said this, that if you want to be great, it's not impossible. Jesus didn't tell them off for wanting to be great. He gave them the rules of the game. He told them about how life works before God, and if they wanted to be successful, what they would need to do. And he said these words. No. He said that the greatest amongst you should be your servant, should be the least. In the mind of Jesus, greatness was about finding ways to love and serve the people around you. So just to sum up, three little things for us to think about. Number one, how different would our workplaces, our schools, and our society be if people thought that the criteria for success was finding ways to love and serve the people around them? Number two, what problems do the people in your life have? And is there something that we could do to serve them, to help them, to help them to find their way through it? And number three, is there a priority, if you like, something that we think about life that we may wish to rethink a little in light of the words of Jesus in that particular story today? So, three things to think about. As is my custom when I've given a little talk, I'm going to say a little prayer. Now, there's going to be more prayers later. I don't wish to over-pray this morning, you understand. But nevertheless, I think a prayer now would be suitable, and so I shall. Dear Lord, we come to you today asking for your help to do life better, asking to live lives in line with how you would like us to live them, and to do well with the life that you have given us according to the priorities that you have for us and our world. So help us, we pray. Amen.